Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor of Life with a 15-Minute Empowerment. During this segment, we're going to be encouraging our walk and our stand and our trust and our obedience towards God and His purpose and plan for our life. God always chooses unlikely people, and when He chooses us for His will, by His design, and for His call. He fills us with His Spirit, His Word, His life, His truth, and He leads us by His authority. And as we walk in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we become obedient unto His will, growing in that grace, growing in that knowledge as He's revealed unto us. We become the light so that someone else's life will be changed, encouraged. Someone will be led to the Lord. Someone else will be strengthened to stand and walk in obedient faith. Someone will see our light, see our lifestyle, and begin to glorify God and want to do the same thing. So our life is more than what we think. God is always watching to see if we will obediently follow after what He says. And as we do, He blesses us, He provides for us, He enables us, and He does the miraculous in our lives. We have been looking at a study, an encouraging power study for an unlikely place for a blessing. And that place is coming out of the book of Esther as we look and study her life and Mordecai's life. And we see that they themselves are in an exile environment. They have been exiled. They are not themselves the first generation, but their ancestors are the generation that disobeyed God, would not obey, was stubborn against His will, and were placed in exile. And when they were placed in exile, they stayed in exile. The book of Nehemiah says for 70 years. But we see here that environment, God always provides a deliverer. He always provides an answer. He always provides those who are placed in unlikely places so that they can be the blessing to the nation of Israel, so that they can be the ones to help them and lead them and be the example. So here we are. Esther is in this predicament. She's there because of the rebellion of a queen and the vanity and the pride and the haughtiness of a king. So because of the two of them and what they've done, we already went over that, we see a stage that is set for her to deliver her people. And she does not allow the things that she's gone through with losing her parents at a very early age because she's a young virgin, and being in exile, not having the traditional upbringing as if she was in her own homeland, not having those conversations with her mother and being groomed and being prepped for a nice Jewish man. We don't see all those things. So she does not allow those situations to make her bitter, to make her heart untender. But God allows her to go through these things to make her an unlikely candidate, but to also keep her tender so that she can be the one to hear from God. And the beauty that flows from the outside is coming from the inside. So we see that. We're going deeper into this study, and we see that she's now in the king's house, now taken in, and this in itself, because there was a petition that was made, and it was sent out, and they gathered all the beautiful virgins that were in the providences that were the king. And so he had 120 providences. And so we see that he had the providence, and he sent out all these decrees, and in Shushan is where Esther and Mordecai live. And Esther is not her Hebrew name, but Esther is her Persian name. She stays there. She's picked up. She's taken to the king's harem and then Haran, and she basically is prepped for becoming the queen. Now, we understand and know that in the eyes of God, she was already the queen when she was born. The day before the foundations of God had already ordained her to be the queen. She just had to go through the process. There are things that you're going to be ordained for. You have to go through that process. She is shown favor from the time that she's picked until the time she sits on the throne. She's shown favor. Even when she goes into the king's Haran, we basically see that she's shown favor. The eunuch there basically takes her, and he gives her the choice portions of food. He also assigns 7 attendants to see after her, and she is put in the best place in the king's palace for the women. She's put in place there. We understand that there were seven units that also came to escort Vashti out before the king. We understand that seven is a place in the number of completion, but here for Vashti, it was the place of completing something and shutting a door. We see that God will allow time to allow doors to be closed in your life, and when they're closed, that closing is complete. And then he will start you on something, because Esther was starting on the road and was given seven attendants to complete something in her life for the place where she was going. Also, when the king married her, it was the seventh year. So that was finalizing the reign or the embracing of her, of the place of authority. So when God does what he wants in your life, he's going to shut some doors. He's going to begin that process, and he's going to place you in a place of authority and reigning in different areas of your life where you may not have had that power or that ability or that door or that favor before. He's going to give it to you as you go through the process. We see also that there were 12 different oils that were used in preparation for the women. Each of these oils basically had a different aspect. They were used for different things. They were used for different things from the outside in. She was having something outwardly put on her, but it was going to affect inwardly what was going on with her body. With us, we know when the Lord begins a process with us, it starts from the inside out. So she was being processed from the outside in, but with us, it's an inside outward process. God deals with our motives, our heart. He deals with our actions, our deed, our obedience. He deals with our trust. He deals with everything from the inside out. And as we are yielded unto him, the beautification happens because we exchange ourselves and we take more of him. So he beautifies us with his meekness, with his peace, with his joy, with all of these things. He beautifies us, and it's starting from the inside out. When we see all of these things that were happening, and as I said, there were 12 different oils. These oils are named in the Bible. We see these things. They could affect the skin. They took care of the aloes, took care of different types of bronchial problems, skin tumors. They took care of cysts. The cassia, which is the cinnamon, basically took care of different types of bacteria and fungus. It took care of these things. The cedar wood basically took care of also things dealing with congestions and coughs and dandruff and respiratory problems, skin diseases, all of these different things. It took care of even acne. The cypress was used basically for arthritis, bronchitis, cramps, insomnia, spasms, throat problems, vein problems. We see the frankincense was also used, and frankincense was used as sometimes for ulcers. It was used as to help with depression. It was used for even asthma. Galambum was basically used for inflammation, poor circulation, and wounds. The hyssop was used, we know, for purging in the spirit realm, but it was also used for burns, respiratory infections, coughs, cuts, ingestion problems. It was used for many different things. The myrrh was used also for digestive diarrhea, stretch marks. It was used for ulcer and female problems as well. The myrtle was used also, and it was used for liver. It was used also for hormonal balance, thyroid, ovaries, the tone of the skin. It was used for different things. Rose of Sharon was also used. They had spikenard that was used. The rose of Sharon was also used for respiratory infections, urinary tract, wrinkles, wounds, cuts. It was used also, the spikenard was used also in the same aspect of inflammation and skin toning. So we see all of that was used for that. And then we see the perfumes that were used. It was used different blends of roses and ambers and sandalwood, lilies of the field, and pomegranate honey. There was used colander, was used myrrh, frankincense, fruits from different trees, fighting hard. And then there was a very extra olive oil that was used also to blend this together. So all of these things were used for her beautification process. And God allowed her to go through this so that she would understand who she was. Now, we see that Esther is going through this process. She's chosen by the king. It's 7 years. She does not make known who she is. God will always have you in a place where you don't have to openly say that you're a Christian. Your lifestyle, the favor on your life is going to speak and testify of that. Mordecai was in a position, placed in an official position because of Esther. The officials were placed at the king's gate, and they handled the business there at the king's gate. So he was placed there by Esther, given this position, and God uses this position basically to be a blessing even to him. He wasn't looking for it, but she blesses him even in that. As he's there, he hears a plot against the king, and two eunuchs are going to kill him. So he tells Esther, and Esther reports it to the king, not directly identifying that it came from that Mordecai and her are related, but letting them know that Mordecai was the one who gave her this news. And so he is put, all of this information is put in the Chronicles. And we'll learn later on that the king basically could not sleep one night. I believe the Lord allowed him to stay up, and he reads about what Mordecai does. And the blessing is going to come later. There are times that you are going to go through things and receive things because of something that you've sown previously, something that you've done previously. It may not be right then in your life, but because of a previous endeavor, something that you've done before, and we see that God uses certain things in our life to bless us. The seed comes up, the harvest comes up later. And that's what happened with Mordecai. He was not rewarded at that time, but God does something in his life a little bit later. We get in a little bit further, and we see that the blessings of God was on, and the favor of God was on Esther and Mordecai in different aspects. And so we see that the time to come that Haman had been given a higher position than all of the officials that were at the gate of the king handling business. And he was a man of pride. He wanted to be praised. He wanted to be recognized. He wanted everybody to give him homage for his position. And so when every time he came in, because he had a spirit of jealousy on him, and we'll see that as you look at what he's done and how he treats Mordecai and how he treats the Jews. It's a spirit of jealousy fueled by pride and haughty and vanity and being praised and all of these different things. We see that because he basically wanted praise, when he came into the room, people would bow before him. People will pay homage. And Mordecai would not do this. He would not do this. And the reason why he would not do this is because he felt it was a type of worship of man. It was not the king that he was bowed to, but it was one of his officials. And so he would not do it. Also, there is a history between Mordecai's family and Haman's family that is seen in 1 Samuel 15 and 18. And basically, Mordecai is the generation or connected to the ancestors of Saul. And Haman is connected to the Amalekites. And so there is a hostility between these two families. And that is fueled for why Haman and Mordecai do not really like or even recognize one another. You will be surprised at the people that will come against you that have nothing to do with you directly, but it's because of the family history. You don't know all of your family history and what people have done, but there will be people that will come against you solely because you name the name of Jesus Christ. That right there is enough. Because you name the name of Jesus, that's the history that makes people angry, that makes people upset, that makes people come after you. You don't have to do anything to them. They will come after you for that sole reason. So we have to understand that even in that, they're going to hate us like Jesus said, but we still have to represent and do what God said. It does not let us know anywhere that Haman treated or talked about this man. He just will not bow to him. I hope you've been encouraged in this. We'll go further next week in this same episode, and we believe that God is going to encourage you even more to stand against obstacles that will happen in your life. Have a wonderful worship experience this weekend. Bless the Lord, lift him up, magnify him, and know that you are blessed. I'm Pastor Cheryl Thaxton, encouraging you on Favor Life, the process of there. Have a blessed day.